If you would turn back with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, we'll read again verse 35 and verse 36. Matthew 14, verse 35 and verse 36. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him, that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Dear congregation, again and again in Scripture, we see how the Lord blessed many men and women. What kindness he showed, what good he did. Recorded for us in Acts 10, verse 38, Peter said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We see he went through the villages, the towns, and the cities doing good. He went about doing good. Good, dear brothers and sisters, as we think of this evening hour, what good the Lord has done for our souls. How he came alongside and looked on us in such mercy and compassion and did us good and continues to do so in our lives. How he leads us, how he feeds us, how he restores our soul, how he protects us, how he shields us and preserves us. So on and so forth. He has helped in many ways. He has helped and there has been healing for the soul. There has been that forgiveness as we will consider a little later. Oh, how precious is that forgiveness. How amazing it is. By nature we have this enmity within, but then we were drawn unto Christ and forgiven. How amazing forgiveness is. Now we've been looking at Matthew 14 for a while now, and we have considered the storm that the disciples faced there all those years ago. But following on in verse 34 we read this, and when they were gone over they came into the land of Gennesaret. They came there, they arrived. And as soon as he arrives, news spreads that he had come. What do we read in verse 35? And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they had knowledge of him, they came, they saw, and then they went and showed kindness to others. They had a concern for others. What do we read in verse 35? They sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. They had knowledge of him, they came and saw, they were concerned for others. They desired that others would be brought unto him and blessed. And oh, what good the Lord did in this place and in other places. Notice the end of verse 36, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Well, let's come directly to these words tonight. And I'd like to consider, first of all, the knowledge of Jesus. Secondly, beseeching Jesus. And then thirdly, blessed by Jesus. The knowledge of Jesus, beseeching Jesus, and thirdly, blessed by Jesus. Come with me first of all to verse 35 as we consider the knowledge of Jesus. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, certain ones knew that Jesus had arrived. News spreads and certain ones are found before him. As we will consider in a moment, they went and they found others. And others were brought. Well, we simply read in verse 35, when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about. They had knowledge of him. Now if you turn to the parallel passage in Mark chapter 6, Mark chapter 6, we read this, and when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, verse 54. They knew him, And then we meet this in verse 55, and ran through that whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into the villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that he might, that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. So they send certain ones, and they go themselves, some of them, having knowledge of him. They knew him. They saw him face to face. They knew him. They saw him. Let me ask, do you know him? Now one may say, what is it to know Christ? Do you know the Lord in your heart? We can't see the Lord, can we? Like these men here, but do you know him? Have you spiritual eyes? Eyes of faith? Are you looking unto Jesus? And do you have this saving or special knowledge of him? Now many have a knowledge of Christ in this world. Ministers preach the gospel regularly. They preach Christ crucified. Missionaries go forth and make him known into the jungles and other places of this world. Sunday school teachers up and down this country and around the world tell the children about the Lord Jesus Christ. Individual believers like Philip go and find the Nathanaels and speak of Jesus to them. Many in this world know of Jesus. They have what we call a common knowledge of him. They know of him. Certain ones in high places know of him. Sadly, in this country there are many who do not want him. They know of him, but they do not want him. Yesterday I was reading in the vestry those words in Luke 19 verse 14. We will not have this man to reign over us. That's interesting there, isn't it? There in the parable, we will not have this man to reign over us. They knew him, they had a common knowledge of him, but they didn't want him. And is that not the scene we are confronted with today in this country? Many know of him, but do not want him. They have a common knowledge, but they reject him. They reject the Lord Jesus Christ. How very sad that is. But also how very solemn. One who dies in their sins rejecting Jesus will not be permitted into heaven. How solemn to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. How solemn it is for one to die rejecting Jesus. Many despise him. They use his name in blasphemy. It's hard to hear it, isn't it? You know, you may be talking with someone and you're having a conversation and suddenly they're blaspheming. They use the name of your precious Redeemer. How sad it is. Many will have nothing to do with him, but they will use his name in blasphemy. Or that yet many would turn unto him ere it be too late. You remember those words in Psalm 2 verse 12? Kiss the Son, embrace him in faith, as we see at the end of that verse. Lest he be angry, and he perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Kiss the Son. Blessed are all they. It's faith, isn't it? To embrace him with the arms of faith. There goes the call in Psalm 2 verse 12. Lest he be angry, and he perish from the way. See there the warning. Oh, many have a common knowledge of him, but sadly reject him. Now, many through history have had this common knowledge of the Lord. Think that many saw him when he was here upon earth. But I'd like us now to consider for a moment a saving knowledge of him. The believer has a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, this special, this saving knowledge of him. Those who are saved have a saving knowledge. Now we consider certain ones here. they had a knowledge of him. Now we know that there were many in those days just had a common knowledge, but we believe there were those who had this saving knowledge, and we believe that there were those here, for they desired others to be blessed by Jesus, and were reminded of the four friends, of the man who was sick of the palsy. They desired their friend to be blessed by Jesus. They had faith and they had a saving knowledge, a knowledge that affected them, and they wanted others to be blessed. And as we think of a saving knowledge, it has an effect on one, doesn't it? In a moment we'll consider there's this effect. One wants to know more of Jesus. One desires others to be blessed. We've, through grace, found him. He who is altogether lovely. And we've been blessed through him, as we see in Psalm 72. And we have a desire that others would be blessed. Oh, these men, they have a knowledge. We believe there were those there amongst them who had a saving knowledge. They wanted others blessed. Listen to Matthew Henry commenting on these words. He wrote this: those that have got the knowledge of Christ themselves should do all they can to bring others acquainted with him too. Oh, we have this knowledge, this saving knowledge of Jesus. He's in our hearts. We're acquainted with him. We know him. Do not we desire others to know him? A saving knowledge. Now, a common knowledge, as we considered earlier, is, as James Fisher puts it, a floating knowledge of him in the head. One knows certain things of him. But a saving knowledge, or a special knowledge, is a knowledge of him that affects the heart. In the heart we know him. There's a knowledge of the Lord and his relationship to us. We know him to be our Father, and we are his children. We are the spiritual seed of Christ. We belong to him. He's touched our hearts. We know him. Those who have a saving knowledge desire to follow him. Turn with me to 1 John 2, verse 3 and verse 4. And you'll see this here. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. See, they're the believer. And none of us are perfect. But out of love to Christ, do not we desire to keep his commandments? We're seeking, aren't we? Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. There's a following. One who has a saving knowledge will be found seeking to follow the Lord. We know the Lord. We follow the Lord. He's known to us in our hearts. Our hearts have been pulled. Samuel Rutherford wrote, since the Lord touched my heart, my heart is not my own. He hath run away to heaven with it. Our heart is pulled. Oh, for our hearts to be pulled again and again. But it has been pulled, hasn't it? To some measure, we want to follow him. We want to keep his commandments, don't we? If ye love me, keep my commandments. When we break God's law, we seek fatherly forgiveness after we've been convicted. Because we want to please him, because we know him. We don't want to fail the Lord, do we? None of us want to fail the Lord. We who love him, because we know him. And so when we sin, we seek fatherly forgiveness, being convicted of our sin. Have you saving knowledge? Are you following the Lord? Is there this evidence? Have you faith firstly been, has it been put within first of all? And do you know the Lord? It's all brought together, isn't it? In 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, listen to the testimony of the apostle. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know who I have believed. I'm looking unto Jesus and I know him. One that is truly looked unto Jesus by faith knows the Lord. It goes together. It's distinct, but it goes together, isn't it? We're saved by faith. For those who are saved by faith, know the Lord. For I know whom I have believed. Can you say that tonight? Is he known in your heart? Is he seen in your eye? The eye of faith and loved in the heart. He's known, isn't he? And he's loved. Ephesians 3 verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. He's known within, and there's a knowing of his love, the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. That seems like a paradox a little bit, children, doesn't it? To know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. What does it mean? We can know it, but there's so much more to know throughout all eternity. What a thought that is. So great is the love of Christ. We'll never get to the end of the knowledge of the love of Christ. It's so vast. It's eternal, isn't it? We'll never get to the end. How privileged we are to know a little bit. As it were, we've just dipped our feet into the ocean. Just a little we know of the vast ocean of Christ's love. We're so privileged to know it, aren't we? To know him and a little of his love. The saving knowledge. A knowledge of him. Oh, consider, he's there. We thought of a common knowledge earlier. There are many in this world who consider the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. I ask you, can you consider that? But do you also consider he's in my heart? There's a difference, isn't there? One can think, yes, he's in heaven, but he's in my heart. I love him. I know him. Let's just think further of a little of the signs of a saving knowledge of him. You think of someone special. You know them. You think of them, first of all. You love them. You want to spend more time with them. You talk to them. You listen to them. You want to please them. You want to get to know them more. Oh, let's think of this. One who has a saving knowledge of the Lord loves him. Yes, at times my love is so small, but thou knowest that I love thee, we say with Peter. You want to spend more time with the Lord, don't you? Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, Son of Solomon 1 verse 7. You want to spend time. Sometimes you've been backsliding. But then the shepherd has come with his staff and restored your soul. That's one of the ways he restores, isn't it? He restores the soul. And you have this new, rather you have this flame within your soul. You want to spend more time with him again. You talk to him. You know him. You talk to him. Someone special in your life, you talk to them. You talk to the Lord. You listen to him. You want to please him. Is that your desire tonight? You want to please Jesus. No matter the cost, you want to please him. You want to put him first. It's a sign you have a knowledge of him. You want to get to know him more. And as we think of this, there is a growing in knowledge. Turn with me to 2 Peter 3 verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Grow in grace, to grow in faith, oh, for a stronger faith, to be more focused on Jesus in the storms, as we considered in Matthew 14, oh, for a ripening of love, oh, for a growth in joy, to know more often what the psalmist said, thou hast put gladness in my heart, to be more long-suffering, to grow in grace, or so on and so forth. To be more holy, be holy, for I am holy. We want to be perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To know him more. Those who have a saving knowledge desire to know him more. Yes, there are the winter times, but there do come the spring times, the summer times. It wasn't so long ago, was it? We had coats on. The heating on, and we were still cold, and now we're too hot. There comes the summer times in the soul, and in those times we long to know more of him. Oh, think of him now. Do you long to know more of him? One of old wrote, more about Jesus would I know, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus. Do you think of the knowledge of the Lord? Are you thinking of him? Does he touch your heart and you want more of him? Oh, just consider heaven. Throughout all of heaven and eternity, we will desire more of Jesus. Oh, for a little more of heaven here upon earth. A growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to spend time then at his feet in a spiritual way. To be in the Word. More of him. He speaks through the Word. Oh, to be like Mary then, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the knowledge of the Lord can affect the heart and the will. There's this desire to follow the Lord. What do we read in John 10, verse 27? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Do you know the shepherd? Children, do you know the shepherd? I know some of you do. Do you all know the shepherd? What do we read in John 14? John 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. He knows the sheep, he knows the lamb. And they know him. How precious it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it affects us, doesn't it, when people blaspheme? That's why it affects us when people speak against his church. Because we know him. Oh, think of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know him to be so kind to me, so loving to me, so caring, so helpful, so understanding. He's willing to stay with me. He's willing to rebuke me. Such a kind friend I have. I know him, and I look forward to seeing him. And I want to make him known. Here's certain ones, they had a knowledge of him. They wanted others to know and be blessed by him. Do not we desire others to know him? He's precious, isn't he? And to you who believe, he is precious. We desire whole families to be converted. Our friends in the workplace, do we not? Because he's precious. We desire others to know him. In the neighborhoods, the workplaces, all to know we desire that they would be blessed. We think of our loved ones who do not know the Lord. We desire that they would be given a heart to know him, because we desire that they would not spend a lost eternity in a place Jesus called hell. We have a heart of compassion for them. We love them. We know the Lord. We desire that they would know him. Remember the woman of Samaria whose heart was touched? John 4, verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Come see a man. She left her water pot. That wasn't important at that moment. She could collect it later. Oh, she had to go because her heart had been touched. She desired others. Remember, Philip found Nathanael, John 1, verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Philip's heart had been touched. He desires Nathanael to come and see. And turning me to the parallel passage in Mark chapter 6 and verse 55. Mark chapter 6 and verse 55. Here it is, they have knowledge of the Lord, as we considered. They knew him, verse 54. And here's an evidence. Then ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was Just think it. They ran. Their hearts were touched, so they ran. Such eagerness, such a desire, such a concern for souls. They ran. Oh, is there that zeal in your heart? Oh, have you that burden, that desire, that others would know the one you know? The knowledge of him, we who love the Lord, we're blessed. But all to know more of him, more about Jesus, before we see him, before we have the whole of eternity to really get to know him. But is it not our desire that others would know him? I'm so thankful for parents, for Sunday school teachers, for a pastor who desired that I would know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're without Christ here tonight, it's my desire, it's my prayer that you would yet know him. But secondly and finally, beseeching him. Beseeching him. We'll come back to this on another occasion, but let's consider in closing beseeching him. Come with me to verse 35. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. The diseased, having been brought before Jesus, then make their application unto him for the places they have been brought. They make their application unto him and the places the Lord was found in. To the great physician, they besought him and him alone. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, they were brought, they were found there with different diseases. But let's consider they all had something in common. As with all men, something that is like a great disease that affects man, and that is sin. Consider sin has caused a loss of sight, hearing. People aren't able to walk in an upright way, so on and so forth. Men by nature are dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, that many would be brought to the feet of Jesus this evening. As we think of the situation in our country, oh, that many will be brought unto Jesus in this evening hour. We think on another occasion when the sun was setting, many were brought unto Jesus. Now we're told this in verse 36, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. They besought him, those that were at his feet. We'll notice in a moment in Mark chapter 6, they besought him. The word from the Greek, which is translated here as besought, can be translated as to call near, to call for, to entreat, to pray. They saw their need, and they called out. They prayed the Lord, and that earnestly. They besought him. Have you called out to the Lord? Have you besought him? He's there. Have you prayed to him? Have you called out? Have you prayed for mercy? Do me good, Lord. Heal me within. Oh, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. No one is brought unto Jesus. And one ineffectual calling is convicted of their sin and then sees the suitableness of Jesus. Now, others may be convicted of sin, but it goes no further. Some feel they've done wrong, but they don't seek the Lord. But one ineffectual calling is convicted of their sin, but also sees their need of Jesus. Here, these at his feet besought him. Have you seen your need? Have you been brought? Have you called out? It may not be you've called out audibly, but you've called out silently. I remember being in my bedroom. And there were times I was too frightened to call out audibly to my parents. I tried to, but the words didn't come out. I was so frightened in the dark at times. But I tried. Oh, have you called out, even though the words do not come out? Have you called out to Jesus? Have you besought him? He's there. He's listening. Are you calling out? Dear brothers and sisters, through grace, you were led to call out. Well, let's consider two further things. Time has passed so quickly. First of all, they besought him, desiring to be helped. They besought him, desiring to be helped. Besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. They've been brought there. They were sick. They were diseased. They desired the Lord would show them mercy. They called out, desiring to be healed, to be helped. And turn with me again to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, the parallel passage. Verse 55, and ran through that whole region about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they had heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. In the place where the Lord had arrived and in other places, the sick were found. And they call out, they besought him that they might be helped. They besought that they might touch the hem, or in Mark chapter 6, the border of his garment. In times of war, those who have been injured, laying on the battlefield, have called out to certain ones. Many have been carried to Red Cross filled hospitals, and soldiers would cry out for help. We're told after the Normandy landings and when casualties had been flown back, over 1 million were helped by the Red Cross. We're told that ambulances, Red Cross ambulances, covered over 900,000 miles in taking the wounded to hospitals. Well, think of those on the stretchers awaiting the ambulances in pain and in agony, calling out for help. They couldn't get up. They couldn't walk. They needed someone to help them. Well, just notice verse 56 of Mark 6. The sick were in the streets. There they were, being laid down there. And there they are, they beseeching the Lord as he is there. They couldn't stand. They were laid there. They call out. That brings it in, doesn't it? They want to touch but the hem or the border of his garment. They're on the ground. They just want to touch the hem, the border of the garment, as the Lord was there, that they might be helped. Oh, have you called out for help? Men by nature are ignorant, blind. Oh, for a work of the Holy Spirit, that one will cry out for mercy. Turn over to Matthew 15, verse 25. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. All of men will cry out tonight if you're not a believer. Oh, that the Lord would cause you to cry out, Lord, help me. Dear brothers and sisters, do not we desire help in times of difficulty? Beseech the Lord then. Call out for help. Lord, help me. Maybe struggling with something in school or the workplace or the college. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. We have the example of Christ in his humiliation. Psalm 22, verse 19. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. He was in great agony. Haste thee to help me. When you find yourselves in difficulties, follow his example. Haste thee to help me. We can pray such a prayer. One may say, can we really pray such a prayer before a holy God? Well, we see the Redeemer doing it. praying out to the Father, haste thee to help me. Lord, help me is our prayer. Young people, children, pray to the Lord. Let us all pray. Lord, help me. There's something worrying you. Lord, help me. Well, these people then besought the Lord, desiring help. Oh, do not we beseech him, desiring that he will help us. And we laid a promise before him, Isaiah 41 verse 10, I will help thee. But then secondly here as we close, they besought him humbly. They besought him humbly. Just go back just a touch, the hem, the fringe, the edge. Where were the sick? They were on the ground. In Mark chapter 6, they were laid in the streets when the Lord was found there. They were on the ground just to touch the hem of his garment. They couldn't get up. They just wanted to touch the hem of the garment. They're on the ground, humbly beseeching the Lord. What a scene. Like a battlefield, isn't it? The soldiers wounded on the ground, crying out for help. Here's the people on the ground, humbly crying out for help. Where are they? Think of the scene. They're at the feet of Jesus. And that's where a sinner is brought, in effectual calling. That's where we were brought, was it not? We saw our emptiness, and we looked to him, at his feet. And that's the good place to remain, isn't it? At his feet. Humbly beseeching him in a spiritual way. You remember Abraham, we considered this a few months ago, Genesis 17, verse 3. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, you know, I found it to be the times when I've been so humbled, communion has been so precious with Jesus. Oh, friend, without Christ, oh, that you would be humbled by grace, that you would be caused to cry out, pass me not, O gentle Saviour, hear my humble cry. He will hear the penitent cry. We who love the Lord in time of need, humbly beseech him. Look to him. Look away from any self-strength. Look to him who is the mountain of strength. Look to him. He will give more grace. James 4 verse 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. At his feet, seeing our need of him, and knowing that through him we can do all. For hear them. The men had a knowledge of him. And then those that were sick and diseased were found on the ground, humbly beseeching him for help and for mercy. At his feet. Oh, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a knowledge of him. Let us seek ever to be at his feet, looking up in admiration, looking up with a heart full of love, looking up, desiring to know much more of him. May the Lord bless his word.